Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, modders, moddettes of all ages, welcome to a special edition of Modders Inc. Inside the Modder, not physically inside the Modder, but inside the Modder's brain edition of the podcast. So today with us we have Mr. Ron Lee Christensen, a man so well respected and revered in the community, he is only known by the entirety of his name. Thanks for joining us, Ron.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Anytime we say, we can't ever just say it's Ron. They're like, who? It's like Ron Lee Christensen. It's like, oh yeah, Ron Lee. Thanks for joining us today. We wanted to get some words in with you about the thermal take competition you're a part of.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
So, what we've had in the past is. We've seen your work, but we wanted to know like how Thermaltake actually approached you to be part of this.
It's actually started back at PDX LAN back in February of last year. I was there just doing some gaming, and I'd brought a project there, and Shannon had come over and he said, "Hey, you know, when are we going to do a project again?" Because the last project that I did for him. Was the Iron Man build and the Thermaltake the Avengers build as well. And I hadn't done a project with them in a while, and he was introducing me to his new line of cases. And he said, "Man, we got to do something." I'm like, "All right, you know, just let me know when you're ready. When you have a project that you have in mind, I'll be more than happy to do a build for you guys." And summer rolled around, and then right about the same time, I got an email from him and Andy saying, "Hey, you know, we got this Season 2 Thermaltake Invitational, and I want to know if you want to be a part of it." And I'm like, "Well, who's the lineup of modders, you know?" And they're like, you know, Brian Carter and Jesse Paseo from the Philippines and Matt from France and Maxim from he just went on and on, and I'm just like, "Oh my god." I'm like, "Yeah, I'd love to be a part of it, you know, I'd love to compete on a level with these guys. You know, I've always looked up to all these guys, you know, they're just, you know, pillars in the community when it comes to, you know, building custom PCs." So yeah, it was a great privilege and an honor to be selected. So yeah, I was definitely on board when they asked me.
The cool thing about this competition is that Thermaltake's bringing all these different modders. I mean, I guess from your perspective, if they're international, you're international. But for the most part, the U.S. scene, I mean, we know about yourself, like Lee Harrington, Richard Soros, and Travis Chank, those guys, because they're all U.S.-based modders. But we don't really, I mean, if you're not exploring outside of that or you're not active on the forums, you don't know about these guys in, like, Russia, France, the Philippines. So it's good that Thermaltake's putting this together. That way, here in the U.S. and other parts of the world, you get a taste of the different modding styles, because an American modder is very different from, let's say, a U.K. modder.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's, you know, and the great thing about the competition is that you get to see all the different styles of the way people approach their projects, you know, and the different styles of mods that people do. You got people that that do these, you know, super streamlined, you know, traditional mods that are just, you know, like the builds that Matt does are just absolutely amazing. And on completely opposite side of the board, you got Jesse's Juggernaut build that is just, you know, it's great, you know, that you just get different, you know, different views and different approaches. And, you know, I think that's what's great about the modding community is that there is no definition to modding. It can be whatever you want it to be, you know. It could be a tank if you want it to be, or it can be a streamlined, super clean PC if you want it to be. And that's what I really like about, you know, the canvas that a PC chassis can be. It's like you can be whatever you want it to be. It's just, it's up to your imagination.
Now, how was it working with the Thermaltake X9 chassis? I mean, I've seen it in person. You can pretty much put a saddle on it and ride it around. It's massive.
Yeah, it's a pretty big chassis. You know, it's really simple. It's, you know, 100% modular. You know, it's like everything just comes unscrewed. I mean, there's some rivets in it, but, you know, most of it just comes unscrewed with a thumb screw. So it was, you know, really easy to take apart and, you know, put back together. It was, it's a really real simple chassis to use. I really, really enjoyed working on it.
We got to work on the X1 chassis with Modders Inc. for the QuakeCon build when we all, like, since we can't compete in the competition, since we run it, we have a little competition amongst ourselves. And I remember looking at it as a man's pick for an ITX case, and I thought what ended up being the X5, that's what I thought the X9 was. So whenever I actually saw an X9 in person for the first time, my eyes just kind of dropped. I was like, man, that's a lot of case. And it's actually not a bad price for the case either.
Yeah, it's a pretty massive case, and I was trying to think of like what I can do to fill up the room and inside the chassis, because the hardware takes up very little space inside of it. So yeah, it was a really fun build for sure.
Yeah, and some of those guys are using two or three of them, so it's like I don't know how you're actually filling the space, but I mean
this is crazy.
Now we were talking about different modding styles from around the world. Yours is actually steampunk, steampunk time machine. And when I think steampunk, I usually think of like Germany, where the movement really first started.
Right.
So what was your idea behind like picking, I want to do steampunk?
I've been wanting to do something along those lines for a while. I had an idea of doing like a time machine and then doing, you know, something steampunk and then, you know, just trying to, you know, get some inspiration for a build, you know, for this project. And I had a couple different ideas for this build, but I decided I wanted to do something that was steampunk related, but not like the traditional style of steampunk. I kind of want to blend in a little bit of fairy tale, a little bit of kind of Tim Burton style as well. So I kind of just came up with my like own little, I wouldn't say own version of steampunk, but just made a twist on it a little bit. So I like the way the build turned out. You know, I mean, you always look at your project and kind of, you know, criticize your own work and go, I should have done this or I should have done that. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with the completed build. So yeah.
And how long were you actually given to do the project?
Everybody got their hardware at different times because the locations that people live around the world, but I think we pretty much all got started like around the mid-August, first part of September is when everybody got their hardware and were able to start. The completion date was November 2nd. We got to have your final picks and mod in by November 2nd. Your picks uploaded to their work logs and stuff and a running PC. I guess, fortunately, Dave from the UK wasn't able to finish his build, so hopefully they'll give him time to get his build submitted, because I'd really like to see all 10 guys, you know, cross the finish line together, you know.
Right. And, I mean, the voting is actually going on for that right now.
It's the public voting right now, and then I think it moves to like the sponsors, and then the Thermaltake headquarters, and then the media partners, I believe.
Right. So if I remember the contest, the way that it actually is rolled out, it's like 35% is the public vote, which is going on right now, and then 10% of it is actually judged by CEO of Thermaltake, Andy. And the rest of it is actually judged by the media partners and the kind of like the lower guys that, I don't say they're like lower guys, like it's a bad thing, but basically the guys at Thermaltake that aren't Andy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so the public vote is a huge part. I mean, if you can get, you know, 35% of that vote, you know, you only need just, not very much to win the competition. And it looks like Jesse has a pretty firm grip on this competition right now. And yeah, go Jesse, man. I'm happy to see, you know, the Philippines representing well. It's pretty awesome.
Those guys can do some crazy stuff, and a lot of them don't have like lasers and CNC lasers. They just kind of do it all by hand.
Yeah, hey, that's the way to do it, man.
I mean, it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just we've gotten so used to seeing like CNCs and lasers just kind of the norm in the modding scene now.
Yeah,
I'm someone that comes from a mechanical drafting background, so I mean I can 3D model something, but I do prefer to bust out the jigsaw over just having a CNC do all my work, unless it's something that it just needs machine precision. Then yeah, I definitely like to bust out the Dremel and the jigsaw and all that.
Well, the price prices on those things have come down so much. I mean, just, you know, you can pretty much own one in your own home now, you know, and they're pretty safe to run inside your home, you know. It's crazy, you know, when Richard was telling me how much he paid for his laser printer, I was like, wow, that's it, you know. It's like,
it made me
think about running out and buying one, but I don't know. I just like to create things with my own hands, you know. I like to, you know, sample around with different things and different materials and see what I come up with, you know. Sometimes it's a massive failure and sometimes it's a success, you know, but there's something about, you know, hand craftsmanship that a machine just can't replicate, you know.
Right, and like with you, you like to use polystyrene a lot, and not that that's a bad thing. I mean, you do some beautiful work with the polystyrene, and when you see it, it's just like these sheets. It's not like molded or anything.
No, it comes in 48 by 96 inch sheets, and I just have my distributor cut it up into 24 by 24 inch sheets, workable sheets, and I mean, it's you can sand it, drill it, paint it, cut it. The only thing that you got to keep mind that in the raw form, until it's protected, it's you know, it's really susceptible to UV, and then, you know, it's it can be pretty brittle until you get the, you know, the final coats on it and stuff like that, protective coats. But yeah, it's a really super strong material. Like when you hear the two panels together, the solvent, it's like a cold fusion type of glue. I'm not exactly sure what the term is, but it's like a cold weld that you use on it, and it basically melts the top parts of the plastic to where when you press the two layers together, it actually becomes one solid piece, and yeah, it's a super strong bond.
Now, what Ron was saying about it's kind of brittle until it's, or it's pretty fragile until you put the final finishes on it. I learned this the hard way because I transported my the X1 rig I did for the competition, the guys at Modders Inc. had, in my car that was by a window. I mean, it's a Ford Focus. It's pretty much all window. But for 4 hours, it took the Texas heat. And when I got it out of the car, the side panels were kind of like wilting off. So I had to take a heat gun to it, lay it on its side, and just kind of let it form itself back out. And it worked all right, but yeah. Definitely check out like Ron's YouTube stuff if you want to see like how he works with it. And it's the one thing I like about it, well, there's a lot of things I like over it compared to like acrylic and metal. You don't need a lot of tools to actually work with it.
No, you don't. Just like the main tools I use is a straight edge and an X-Acto blade or utility knife, and you can just score and snap it. And then, you know, just hit it with some sandpaper and sand it down. I use some files and sandpaper, you know, to get the shapes I want and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's, you don't need a jigsaw to cut it. You just score and snap it. It's really easy to use. And, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's my go-to material because, you know, I didn't grow up with a metalworking background, and I really don't have the space to, you know, to work in metalworking. So, something that I probably want to get into, you know, later on in modding, but right now it's like my go-to materials, like is the plastics, the polycarbonates, the ABS, and stuff like that. And like most people, you know, like I don't know if they know this, but like your front bezels on most cases are made of you know, certain types of ABS and polycarbonates. So it's a super strong material. You just gotta treat it right, and you know, make sure that you, when you're finished with your project, that you put the right top coats on it and stuff like that to protect it.
Right. And, like, I mean, if you look at some of Ron's past projects where he bevels the edges on the polystyrene, you can do that with just, like, two or three passes, and it pretty much just, like, it almost just kind of, like, melts off. But it's, you can get some really nice finishes with the material, and it's a lot cheaper. Well, it's cheaper if you go with, like, how Ron said he went to his supplier to buy a sheet, because if you're like me buying it off Amazon, or if you go down to like Hobby Lobby, those little model kit polystyrene sheets, they start adding up really fast.
Exactly, and that's the way that I was doing it for a while. I was going into the hobby store and buying, you know, like 12 by 12 inch sheets, and there was like two or three in a pack, and I think it was around 12, 13 bucks. And the guy at the hobby store was like, hey, you know, I've seen you coming in here for quite a while, borrowing our polystyrene. I can't let you do this anymore. It's like, you got to go down to Calsec Plastics, which is my supplier here in Portland. He said, you know, they sell them down there by sheets, you know, and you can buy as much as you want, you know, different thicknesses and stuff. And I think a sheet of 48 by 96 inch sheet is about $38 depending, and then, you know, I have mine cut up, obviously, you know, and I think, you know, $10 for the custom cut. So yeah, it's a pretty cheap material. Recommend, you know, going to a distributor to buy it, especially if you plan on using a lot of it, you know, like I do. So yeah, I mean, like one sheet usually lasts me like 2 or 3 projects, so. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's significant. I think the same sheet in aluminum or acrylic. Acrylic, you're looking at probably around $300.
Wow.
Aluminum, you really don't even want to start looking at the price point for that.
Yeah.
A lot of it depends on thicknesses, but with the polystyrene, you can stack it.
Yeah.
And that weld-on solvent is really, really good about it. As long as you put the right amount and you make sure it's laid down flat, It works out really great, where you can just kind of a cheap method, or you can, I learned a way to do it is to, you can make a box out of just a few pieces, and it'll look like a solid piece as long as you put in your filler and all that.
Yeah, that's what I do. It's like any seams that I have, I'll just use, you know, just a modeling putty to, you know, fill in the seams. If it's something, you know, where I want a super strong bond, sometimes I've used automotive Bondo. But yeah, I mean, the surface takes just about any material you want to put on it. You can paint it with, you know, water-based or enamels, urethanes, just about anything.
Now, let's talk more about your steampunk time machine. Cause,
sure.
I mean, other than the actual polystyrene work that you do on a lot of your cases, which always looks great, I noticed that you kind of... you actually did more of like a steampunk theme in the traditional sense that you were using materials that you basically repurposed materials. It may have been something at one point. I pointed out on Facebook, I was like, hey, that looks like a part of like the air compressor on an airbrush. And then you're like, yeah, it is. It was a broken one.
Yeah. I had an air compressor that died. And so... you know, I like to repurpose things, and I like to take, like, things that break. I like to take things apart and, like, put them together, like, take, like, the circuit boards out of them or the old knobs and tubes or whatever, and kind of put them back together in a really weird way, you know, and just try to see what I come up with, you know. And then if it looks cool, then I'll make a mold of it, you know, and then I have that piece to use for something, you know. But, yeah, you know, it's like I try to recycle, be green, you know, try to reduce my carbon footprint as much as I can and try to repurpose a lot of stuff that I use, you know. I like to go to salvage yards and, you know, get materials as well. You know, there's some great shops here in Portland, you know, that sell, you know, a lot of old stuff that's, like, repurposed and stuff. So, yeah, you know, whatever I think I can reuse, I try, yeah, for sure.
Now, this build really reminded me of the movie 9, which is, I think it was produced by Tim Burton. I don't think you directed, but I think you produced it. So, like, with them, it was like these little sack people, and they were living in this post-apocalyptic world where they would just grab, like, what we would look at as junk. They would repurpose it as, like, weapons or different tools that they could use. And that's what this build reminded me a lot, because you had, like, all the little cog work and, like, the kind of rustic metal trinkets.
Yeah, that's kind of funny that you bring that up, because that's one of the movies that I kind of watched to, you know, get some inspiration. That and the Box Trolls. I mean, neither one of them are really steampunk related, but just that feel of the movie, you know, kind of, I don't know, it's kind of inspiring, you know, that I just love Tim Burton, you know, and I just love the way he looks at the world. It's just such a crooked, weird way, you know, and, you know, I was just trying to incorporate that feel into the project.
Now, the beautiful thing about steampunk is there's so many different renditions of steampunk, so it doesn't necessarily mean I did it wrong. I mean, Ron did his, and it was kind of like New Age steampunk, but you've got, like, cyberpunk, like cogpunk. I mean, there's a bunch of different, if you look into it, there's a whole different feel about it going from each type. I mean, similar to modding itself, you're going to have different types of modding. Modding isn't just, it's not defined by one type of mod. It's made up of many.
Right, right, exactly. And I think that's what's really cool about the industry is that, you know, every mod is different by, you know, by the modder. You know, it's just like, you know, like every artist has their the way they paint. You know, you have the impressionist, the surrealist, you know, the abstract. And I think the same way, you know, it's lived in the modding industry. Because I've always viewed PC modding more as an art form. I've always approached it that way. And, you know, with my projects, you know, I try to incorporate, you know, the PC into an art piece rather than the other way around, you know. And, you know, it's my approach to modding, I guess, and, you know, I'm enjoying doing it. And since I got some other ideas for some upcoming projects that are going to be pretty interesting. So we'll see, you know.